Hey, I'm going to jump on into my first topic, the border battles. Now, let me tell you something. I had a piece that I had put together earlier in the week. I didn't get to it. So I'm going to fold a little bit of it into this topic, and I even added a whole lot more to it. The border battles. What are we seeing right now? What are we seeing in an effort to lay claim to our own borders? Which, you know, you look at it. Why are we having to lay claim to our own borders? I don't know. Why are we having to pass laws to define what a woman is? I mean, for the crying out loud, we're literally having to bring back what Donald Trump rightfully called the era of common sense. If you don't have a border, then do you really have a country? Because geographically, you're no longer sound. You're no longer able to show the precise realm of your existence. You're no longer to say, here's where our laws begin and end. So a lot has been happening in regards to the border battles. It was one of the biggest issues throughout the entire election season. It went back and forth between number one and number two with the economy. Any number of things have happened negatively to the communities all over this nation. We are all border states. One of the dynamics that we saw most recently was the amount of money that has been spent on illegal aliens in communities, in states, all over our nation. And then there's maddening things, like you've heard all about DOGE. You've heard all about Trump trying to put freezes on expenditures before they go out, before the check is written, basically. He wants to have a chance to review it and know that it is in compliance with existing law. And oh, by the way, can he stop it if he has to? The other day, if you didn't see this, and I'll just opine about this one for a minute. The other day, if you didn't see this, one of the FEMA bureaucrats, the CFO, I don't recall her name right now, doesn't matter. She's no longer the CFO, let's put it that way. But the CFO of FEMA decided that despite the fact that she had been told not to send out any checks, well, she wasn't going to do that. She was going to send $59 million to New York City, in part to fund the Roosevelt Hotel, which used to be a beautiful sort of boutique hotel. That hotel, by the way, is now owned by the nation of Pakistan. I kid you not. The Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, owned by Pakistan, has become a contract lodging for illegal aliens, right in the heart of downtown. The Roosevelt Hotel, super funded by money from government, and the CFO defied Trump's orders, sent $59 million to New York City anyway. Breaking news for you, the border battles, Secretary Kristi Noem just published a few minutes ago on her Twitter feed. She says this, "I have clawed back the full payment that FEMA deep state activists unilaterally gave to New York City migrant hotels." She says FEMA was funding the Roosevelt Hotel that serves as a Tren de Aragua base of operations and was actually used to house Lake and Riley's killer. "Mark my words," Secretary Noem said, "there will not be a single penny spent that goes against the interests and safety of the American people." That, my friends, is a whole new day. We fired the CFO. We got the money back. Sometime very soon, I suspect the nation of Pakistan is going to have to flush out the rooms, say, "I'm sorry for you, but we got to start renting this place out to real people." And oh, by the way, they're probably going to have to do a bit of cleanup first. Just saying. All right, we're taking a break. I'll take the break and I'll come right back. And let me put a phrase in your mind as we go to the break. The immigration industrial complex. What? Yes. What you just heard about with the Roosevelt Hotel is this one example of what some are calling the immigration industrial complex. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so let me lay something on you. In the border battles, part of what's happening is not just the, you know, putting up barbed wire, not just activating, you know, the military and giving, you know, states the autonomy to make arrests. It's more than that. That's almost like the, I would say the givens. Those are going to happen. That's part of it. We're going to actually have a physical barrier border. How awesome is that? However, what we've also been unwinding over the last 3 weeks, and I mean like unwinding it over the last 3 weeks, is what some are now referring to as the immigration industrial complex. Basically, there's an entire cottage industry out there of people that make a killing off of illegal immigration. And I don't mean the coyotes. I don't mean the cartels. I don't mean the people that that are just running across the border and then going back for the next shipment of drug. I'm talking about actual people who, with the assistance of government, have been making it more difficult for us to control our own borders. What? Yes. So I got a story here for the Daily Signal. It's really well done. A guy named Tyler O'Neill wrote this. He starts off by saying, did you know your tax dollars have been propping up a system of nonprofit organizations that house and transport illegal aliens all across the country? Donald Trump has now paused some of those programs that propped up the system. Here's a couple of the maddening pieces. There's two particular organizations. There's HIAS, H-I-A-S, that stands for Hebrew Immigrant Aid Services. And there's Church World Service. These are two allegedly faith-based nonprofits. They're official 501c3 nonprofits. And they get massive federal grants. Massive. Y'all, here's the thing. Let me tell you some things that have happened, just so you'll know. First of all, we are making a difference right now. The Trump administration is. But this industrial complex, this immigration industrial complex, has been impeding progress for years. So a lawsuit was just filed Monday, just like 2 days ago, aiming to block President Trump's order that paused all payments to these NGOs under what's known as the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. Think about this. I am describing to you the functions of government to give away your tax dollars. It's not just government turning a blind eye and not doing a good job to stop people coming across the border. It's government paying people to make it harder to control the border. I'm going to go one step further. I had heard before that Alejandro Mayorkas was an open borders guy. And I don't mean like we can see it in his policies when he became, Secretary of Homeland Security. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas was actually on the record as being an open borders guy. I just named those two organizations, right? HIAS and the other one. HIAS received 33% of its total revenues in 2021 from the State Department and the Department of Health and Human Services. That's, y'all, that's $51 million in assets, I believe. The other one, Church World Service, they got $20.5 million in government grants. So look at the tens of millions of dollars flooding into them, and then look at this. Alejandro Mayorkas, he was the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security under the Obama-Biden regime. Trump took office. Where did he go before he came back? He was on the board of HIAS. Are you catching that? He was on the board of the same organization that when he took office as secretary, he made sure they got tens of millions of dollars to help illegal immigrants get across the border and then be transported around the nation. Mayorkas even listed groups like HIAS as part of his border security plan. In that plan, which was known as Border Security Pillar 4, he talked about bolstering, this is the quote, bolstering the capacity of NGOs, non-government organizations, to receive non-citizens after being processed through by Customs and Border Protection. In other words, hey, we'll get them in. We'll leave the door open. When they get here, we'll just pass them right through. Hey, HIAS, here's some money. Take over. I have to ask this question. In the lawsuit, they admit that they lost all their revenues. If they relied on government for their money, then were they really a non-governmental organization? I'm going to say no. That whole thing pisses me off. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, I got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I just, you know what I just did? I just forgot Tennessee.
How did I do that? I wasn't going to say anything, but I noticed.
Alabama and Tennessee, syndicated news talk leader. It's still new to me.
Yeah.
I'm still getting it in my head. We love being up in Chattanooga, by the way. Glad to be there up on WGOW out of Chattanooga. Good stuff.
Maybe we can knock the liberalness out of that city.
Whoop, whoop. They need some knocking right now. Listen, I don't know what's going on with that pastor calling for violence. It's just like, how are you a pastor and that's your gig, man? Is he like the Reverend Jesse Jackson or the Reverend Al Sharpton? Or is he one of those? Or do you have a church?
I think he has a church from what I saw. It's disappointing.
Yeah. I'd like to know which Bible he's reading. Okay. Hey, before the break, it's almost like this story got so under my skin. I found the story. It ticked me off. Then I brought it up. Then I talked about it on the air, and something about talking about it out loud made it even worse. JP, did you catch the part that I said about Alejandro Mayorkas being a member of the board of this same NGO that then got tons of money once he became the Secretary of Homeland Security?
So basically incentivized the HH or the Homeland Security Secretary to have open borders. It's disgusting. But also when you said that, I was thinking about, I don't know if you saw yesterday, Elon and Trump's little press thing in the Oval Office, and they were hammering him about potential conflicts of interest. If he's shutting down parts of the government, that would profit his businesses. And it's just so hypocritical because the people that they're supporting are doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And his response to it was, well, if I'm an open book, he goes, if you see any, please let me know and I'll get rid of it. You know, it's just, it's projecting from the left when they're saying stuff like that because their own people are doing exactly that.
Just exactly that. And then I asked that question too, and I think it's a fair question. If they relied so heavily on the government for their funding, then were they really a non-governmental organization to begin with?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're just an arm of the government at that point.
They're just a government agency.
That's exactly right. Unbelievable. Listen, I'm talking about the immigration industrial complex. I'm talking about the border battles. So here's another story. Let me just, I'm going to take this down from different angles here right now, all right? A lot's going on in the southern border area. A lot's going on the issue of illegal immigration. And by the way, it has really dramatically changed. Here's some numbers for you. You'll like this. I got this piece off of Fox. Since Trump got in the White House only 3 weeks ago, has it been 3 weeks? It feels like it's been like 6 months. Since Trump's return to the White House, border crossings have plummeted. There were an average of 7,287 migrant encounters at the southern border in the first 7 days after Trump's inauguration by both Border Patrol between ports of entry with a daily average of 1,041 encounters a day. That compares, though, to 20,000 encounters in the final 7 days of Biden. So, good Lord, they have literally cut it just massively down to the point that it's probably almost boring. Isn't that amazing? When's the last time the CBP guys were bored on the southern border? But yeah, how crazy cool is that? You're seeing 7,000-ish migrant encounters in the first 7 days of Trump, but you saw 20,000 in the last 7 days of Biden. Wow, wow, oh wow. Now, in the middle of all that, one of the things that they're looking at right now is tunnels. All right, so it's not just you know, wading across the Rio Grande. It's not just climbing over the hills or taking a boat around the seawall into San Diego. It's not. We have major tunnel complexes. I think people know that, but I don't think you know to the extent. Like, for instance, I've got a story here from Fox that points out the DEA agents talk about the fact that they've got tunnel crossings that are filled with rails and cart systems. They're air conditioned. They've got sometimes they have offices in them. They have underground storage lockers and weapons locker rooms. They've got one tunnel they found was 800 yards long from a warehouse in Tijuana to a building in San Diego. And they call the receiving buildings, where'd it go? Call them cover-ups. They look for what they call the cover-ups. And one of the things they're looking at right now is, can we post reward money for people who will let us know there's a cover-up building that needs to be addressed? And then DEA says they go in there and they blow them up. They don't play. They don't go in there and find them and try to secure them and take care of things. No, they go in there and they blow them up, destroy them, and they should. But y'all, that's tunnel complexes coming underneath your southern border.
So the cartel is the ones orchestrating these tunnels, right? We could assume safely.
Yes.
So that just adds another attribute of a terrorist organization, because you look at, you know, Hamas and other terrorist places like that. I mean, they do exactly that, and they have tunnels. So even though the cartels may not be, you know, doing October 7th type stuff across our border, I feel like they're very much a terrorist organization if they're doing stuff like that.
They're very much a terrorist organization. Very much so. Here's the other thing that's happening. Border battles. Tom Homan is, of course, conducting raids around the country, right? Tom Homan is helping orchestrate raids around the country, put it that way. ICE agents, Customs and Border Patrol agents, FBI. We had two roundups in Alabama yesterday, I think it was, in both Lee County and Baldwin County. It's happening all over the place. More than once, though, somebody has tipped off the community that a raid's coming. And Homan's not standing for it. He made it very clear. He said, we think it's coming from the inside. We know the first leak in Aurora, Colorado, it's currently under investigation, and we think we've identified that person. And they're under investigation right now, and we tend to believe it leads towards someone in the FBI. Holy crap. He also says they've opened up a criminal investigation on this. They're going to criminally prosecute the person if they find out for sure they did it. But that's happening as we speak. All right, now, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about whether or not your state can take action on illegal immigration? But that's a U.S. border. Can we do that? It's federal law. That's what the Democrats say. Republicans, not so much. We're ready to act. So right now, states all over the nation are in session. I've told you that several times over the last few days. The Alabama legislature is currently in session right now, passing laws at the state level. And there are some things right now being considered in Montgomery. And y'all, I've been saying this for years. Thank you, State Senator April Weaver. I actually had this idea when I was still in office, and I couldn't get traction with it. But it's a different time now, and I think she's got it. Right now in Alabama, Senate Bill 77 is in place right now. And Senator April Weaver, who was on the show last week, Senator April Weaver has got this bill. It would establish a $7.50 international electronic wire transfer plus another 1.5% over any amount over $500. What are we talking about? Do you know how much money? Look this up, if you don't mind. These are called, I forgot what they're called now. Just Google how much money is wired to Mexico from the United States every year. And there's a name for this. It's not forfeitures. That's in the law.
We've looked this up before.
We did. I know we did, but I want you to look it up again. It's billions. But we're talking about, basically, here's how you pay for the wall, in my opinion.
Remittances. According to recent data, approximately $63 billion is wired to Mexico every year in remittances, whatever.
That's just Mexico.
Yeah.
By
the way, that was the 2023 figure, so I don't even know if the 2024 figure is up yet. It could be much higher.
See, find out if you can, like how many, what are the amount of remittances for, let's pick another one, Venezuela, and see what it comes up. Senate Bill 77 would put a basically a tariff or a surcharge on that. What does that mean? Well, I mean, do the math. If you got a $7.50 charge on every international electronic wire transfer, and then another 1.5% on anything over $500, good Lord. What you got?
Venezuela's $2 to $4 billion.
You just identified $65 billion just between those two countries.
Mm-hmm.
And I read once that something like 20% of Mexico's GDP is based on remittances from the United States. It would be soul-crushing to them if this happened.
Venezuela's is 5% of their GDP.
5% of their GDP is money wired from the United States. And so what happens is you got people that flood across our border. They come here, they make money, and they go down to the local Western Union. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and challenge all of y'all. Next time you go out at, and I'll tell you where you often see it, a lot of times locally owned Mexican restaurants, if you see something on the door, it'll have the little symbol that says you can wire money from here to Mexico. And I think it's called Telemex. I'll have to look and see. But the reality is, if you don't notice it, it's like that symbol that you know what to look for if you know it's there.
It's kind of like in the corner.
Yeah, it looks like it's a credit card sign kind of thing. No, it's telling folks, hey, if you come here, you can wire money home. And they'll wire money home for free. They may charge a little something for their service, but the reality is, ain't nobody going to see it because it's just going out the door. And all of a sudden, money in our economy is flooding into money into the hands of people in other economies. Well, Senate Bill 77 in Alabama says, how about we put a little something tacked on that? Have you got your Google Sheet still open? Go ahead. See if you can, if there's any way to discern that by state. Just do Alabama, since we're talking about Alabama. How much money is in remittance to Mexico from Alabama? Does that come up? I'm going to bet it's about $1 billion.
I'm seeing a website here. I'm going to have to do some digging. If I'll come back when I see if I find something here.
I'm going to do some math during the break. Mm-hmm. Let's figure this out. If we got a 1.5% fee on roughly $1 billion, what does that equate to with the state coffers? Woo! We may have something going on here. Look, this is how you fight it, man. It's not just a matter of blowing up tunnels. It's not just a matter of breaking down that, the who's leaking the raids. There's also the breaking down the immigration industrial complex. And part of that complex is the ability to wire money out of our country just because you can. All right, we're taking a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. I got more. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Making common sense like a superpower. Brand new texture coming in from Chattanooga. We are glad you are there. Says, regarding that pastor, he also serves on the Chattanooga Regional Planning Commission. Oh, good. And his wife is a principal at a local school. Oh, wonderful. Sounds like a class act and in all the right places to influence people and win friends, right? By the way, tell us who you are. And it says Chattanooga listener. So if you're in Chattanooga itself, tell us. But thanks for texting. Thanks for being part of the show. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee says, I think that pastor sounds like a Farrakhan. I think he does. Bruce from Springville checking in again. He says, how about Tom Homan targets hotel owners and landlords that cater to illegals and with criminal charges? I don't see a problem unless, if they're actually advertising it that way, then sure. But there's other stuff happening. By the way, we did some math. Now I'm rounding in a big way. All right. I'm rounding. JP did some looking online. It appears that we can say that something like, you know, if we round it up, it was almost 1%.
Yeah, it was around 0.8%.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm shocked that it's not more than that. But let's say of the $63 billion you said is going to Mexico alone.
So this graph was from 2018.
I think it's going to wind up.
So it's probably a bit higher now.
I mean, I look at the mass influx of people, illegals that went to places like New York State, Chicago, Illinois, California, all of it. So maybe we are at 1%. 1% of $63 billion times April Weaver's proposed 1.5% transaction fee. Whoo! We're talking about, now I just lost my train of thought. How much is it? It is a lot. I want to say it was $15 million.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Which sounds about right.
Which, by the way, just for fun, you want to guess how much percent California gave to Mexico in remittances?
How much were they of the percentage? I'm going to say they were 22%.
28%. Shame. Rounded up at 28.93, so 29%.
Billions flowing out of California. Billions. Meanwhile, homeless people in the street. Senate Bill 66, also in Alabama, would require law enforcement agencies to collect fingerprints and DNA from any illegal alien and submit them for testing and cataloging. Senate Bill 53 from State Senator Wes Kitchens of ARAB would create the new crime of concealing an illegal alien and human smuggling. State Senate Bill 55 by State Senator Chris Elliott of down in South Alabama would invalidate the use of any driver's license that indicates it was issued to an individual who did not offer proof of lawful presence in the United States when they obtained that license. Well, I'm just telling you, this is the kind of thing states can actually do, and they can. They can actually do that. I won't do that one because I already did. How about this one? Over in Mississippi? Mississippi's... Mississippi's putting a bounty on people's heads. Have you heard about this? Mississippi House Bill 1484 has garnered local and national headlines. House Representative Justin Keene he's a Republican from Byhalia, Mississippi. Where is he from? Where's that boy from? Byhalia, Mississippi. Say boy. He says his bill would offer residents of the state of Mississippi $1,000 for information that leads to the arrest of an illegal alien. What? There's a whole new cottage industry about to spring up in Mississippi.
Yeah, I was about to say. I feel like a lot of people will be jumping on that.
I'm thinking, they better be careful with that one. Dog the Bounty Hunter will just live in Mississippi at that point. Why not? Just scooping them up, bringing van loads in, paying off his student loans. Awesome. Tennessee's been busy. Tennessee legislature is in right now. And they got a bill right now that would have a price tag about a $500,000. But what it does is it creates a centralized immigration enforcement division of their state law enforcement agency. In other words, they will have their own ICE division on purpose. Like, these are guys who are dedicated just to dealing with illegal immigrants and illegal immigrant crime in the state of Tennessee. By the way, that's a Chattanooga guy. That's State Senator Todd Gardenhire of Chattanooga. The only guy who voted against it was State Senator Todd Gardenhire of Chattanooga. A Republican, by the way. The lone Republican to vote against the bill. It just got approved, by the way. It went to the governor. They're forming it. The governor's going to appoint someone to be in charge of it. They got a $500,000 budget for it. Governor Bill Lee asked for it. The only guy to vote against it, Chattanooga, your Senator Todd Gardenhire. Interesting. All right, you guys, we're switching gears when we get back. Waste, fraud, and abuse. What about it? We'll talk. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.